asked my daughter if my light was on. And she said, yeah. And then she said, don't say anything stupid. I thought she meant up here. And there's no guarantees of that. But I'll try not to. Before we start, I want to just kind of mention something real quickly. We have a few people that we need to be praying for as a body, and I think it's important for us to do that collectively through the week, and I think it's important for you to know some specific needs, some great needs that there are to pray for. And we have got a phone call this week from Chico Horner's sister, who stated that Chico wasn't doing very well, and she's had a number of surgeries in the last month in Ohio. And so she wasn't doing well, and her sister really wanted us to be praying for Chico. So keep her in your prayers. Also, Carl Holt, who's back at home now from the hospital again. Carl kind of travels back and forth between the hospital and home and the hospital and home, and now he's home again. But he needs our prayers. And then again, for Marv and Jane Goad, I know they've been coming to church. They're here every week now, and that's a praise, but they still need our prayers. And so lift both of them in prayer, too, as you pray throughout the week for them and their health. So those are just a few of the things that we need to be thinking about and praying about as a body this week. So would you join me in prayer right now? Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity we have to come together. I pray, Lord, this morning that you will be with this message, that it's your message and it's your words, and I'm just speaking what you want me to say, Lord. I believe and I pray that you will speak through me. I thank you for just the opportunity to be a church, and I pray for these folks in our church that are hurting. I pray for Chico, and pray that your hand be upon her, Lord. I pray for Carl as well, and Marv and Jane, and I just pray that you will touch their lives. And also for Lee Stacy, Father, we pray for him. He's here this morning, but he's been ill, and he's going to have surgery again this week. And so, Lord, he's another person that we need to keep in our prayers, and so I ask you, Lord God, to just touch all their lives and be part of them and be there with them and give them the strength that they need to carry on. Thank you, Father, for the blessings of the day. In your name we pray. Amen. In the beginning, God created the world. Back in Genesis, created man and woman. Don't worry, we're not going to start at Genesis and work all the way through Matthew. But God created man and woman. He left them only one stipulation. You remember that. Quote, you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. You see, Adam and Eve, like us, had a choice. They chose to disobey, to sin. And so it began. Kind of the great divide. The fact that God, being perfect, and could only associate or be with, connected with perfection, and now his creation that he loves so dearly, Adam and Eve and all of us after, there's a divide because of sin. But the good news is that God had a plan. It didn't surprise him. It didn't catch him off guard. He had a plan, and that plan was Jesus. Praise God. This series that we started back at Christmas on the life of Christ, we started obviously at Christmas with his birth, and then in January we picked it up with Jesus' baptism, and we continued to look at the life of Jesus, his character, looked at the way he walked and the things that he did and the things that he said. We looked at his teachings, we looked at his healings, we looked at his praying, his sacrificing, and his dying and rising again from the grave. You see, Christ understood his role. He knew why God placed him here, why God brought him here to the earth. He understood that. He knew that he needed to be the sacrifice for the sin that not only Adam and Eve committed, but every single one of us afterwards, and every single person coming after us. See, Jesus was the person that God sent to pay for that sacrifice. He was it, and he knew it. Our only hope. That's why I said last week, we should celebrate that every single day of our life, that Jesus rose from that grave, that we may have everlasting life. You see, Jesus had a message of hope and deliverance that we all needed to hear. And he had love for humankind, all humankind. He loves us. God loves us. God wants to spend eternity with us. So there needed to be a sacrifice, and Jesus was it. See, Jesus in his teachings, and we looked at that already, had given us this great command. The Pharisees had tried to trick Jesus up and ask him the question, what's the greatest commandment of all? When we find in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40, we find the answer. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And I believe that these two commandments, even though there are two commandments, are really one big commandment. Because I don't believe that we can truly love God if we don't love others. And I don't know how we can love others the way God wants us to if we don't love God. So you can't really separate these two. But it's out of that great love for others that Christ did what he did. This is why God sent Jesus, because of his love for every one of us here today. You know, when people are preparing for their final days in life, and I see this a lot in some of the things that I do day to day, and I see families coming together with someone who is about to die. And while they still can, these folks want to talk a little bit about what's to come, what's going to happen, and what their desires are for themselves. You know, what do you want, what I want you to do for me? And also what they see and desire to happen for their families and the people that they love. They want to kind of give some last words of encouragement, some last words of instruction. Because why? They love their family and they want what's best for them. And so they gather them together and they have these kind of conversations. Kind of the last will and testament. Well, today we are going to look at the final plan that Christ left for each of his followers. See, Christ did the same thing. He gathered them together and he talked about, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to continue on my work. This is what I want you to be busy doing as an individual, as a church. These are the things that I want for you. Because I love human beings. I love and I want to spend eternity with them. So the three questions that really I want us to look at and hopefully answer this morning, the first one is, what is the Great Commission, this plan that Christ has for us? Why do we need the Great Commission? And what is our role in the Great Commission? Hopefully this morning we will answer all three of those questions. You see, from Christ's point of view, this was his plan, and he was sticking to it. And he gave it to us to stick to as well. This is a message of greatest importance. It is a simple plan to understand, but it is not easy to do. And so it's difficult sometimes when you're delivering God's word and you know it's challenging. It's challenging for me to live this way. I know it's challenging for you to live this way. You may not agree with God's plan. But you know what? It doesn't matter. It's still God's plan, and it's my job this morning to deliver Christ's plan. I mean, to take a quote from those of you who watch Fox News, I report, and you decide. We hear the message, and then we have a decision to make. You and I must decide whether to accept this plan and be part of carrying it out or not. You might say that we must decide whether we are taking this class of living a Christian life and being a Christ follower, or do we just want to audit the class? You know, auditing the class, have any of you ever audited a class in college? Maybe, I don't know, I don't think they let you do that in high school, but okay. Auditing the class is fun because you get all the information the same as everybody else in the class. You meet a bunch of new friends and professor, and you just have a good time. But you never have to read the material. You don't have to take the test or write any papers. Basically, you don't have to do the work that everybody else has to do to get credit. You just get to sit and take it all in. Tony Evans, the pastor, says it this way. He says about auditors, he says, they want the data without the responsibility. He says, that's an audit. And so sometimes in our Christian life, some of us here today, I hate to say it, but maybe you just really would rather just audit this Christian life and not necessarily live it the way according to God's plan. I hope not. And if you are living it that way, I hope after today you change and move in a different direction. This Great Commission is not like an audit. We have two choices when it comes to the Great Commission. Okay? First, one is to accept the plan and carry it out. Two is to accept the plan and carry it out. There is no plan B. There's only one plan. And that's the plan. Jesus gave us the plan, and it's our privilege and honor to carry it out. So let's take a look. There we go. But I want to do something a little different this morning. Wake you back up, get you alert. We're going to ask that everyone please stand, and we're going to read this passage together the best we can in unison. Because you see, this is a plan. If you're here this morning as a Christ follower, then this is your plan. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christ follower, you don't know Jesus, and you're just checking us out, that's great. We're glad you're here. And we hope that maybe sometime you will understand this and be able to stand and read this passage as well, knowing that it's for you. And that's our hope and prayer for you. Matthew 28:16-20. Let's start. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You can be seated. That's our plan. That's the plan that Jesus put together in order to continue his work. So he's telling us to be a disciple, and he's telling us to make disciples. You see, a true disciple is one who is carrying out Christ's plan day by day. So if we're called to be a disciple, then we are called to carry out this plan day by day. And hopefully by the end of the morning, we will understand this plan and how it works. Warren Wiersbe writes an article. This is what he says. It's an interesting article. He says, Jesus says, "I have control over everything. I am in charge. This commission I'm about to give you is not just something to do before I return to past time. It is not like I say goodbye, good luck, and see you soon, and hope that you do as well. As a matter of fact, I'm sending you under my power and under my watch. I am aware and concerned with every soul that you will encounter. I am with you to use your words from your mouth to make myself known to those who don't know me. I am in control of your life. I am in control of everything. So trust me as you carry out the Great Commission." He also adds, "Since Jesus Christ today has all authority, we may obey him without fear. No matter where he leads us, no matter what circumstances we face, he is in control. By his death and resurrection, Jesus defeated all enemies and won for himself all authority." You see, Jesus has all authority to give us this commission and to expect us to live it out. So we're going to break down these verses this morning, and we're going to take a look at what each one of these verses means. We're going to start with verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them." You know, a lot of things happened on the mountain, didn't it? Moses went to the mountain, and God spoke to him. And in the Old Testament, it was a few times where the mountain really came into play. And Jesus loved that. He used that as an example as well. Many times they would go to the mountain. See, Jesus called his disciples together, not just the 11, but all the disciples. So there were more than just the 11 there. People who were following Jesus and wanted to know more and were just excited that Jesus was still here, even though he had already died, and now they see him in person. They know that he is alive again. And so this happened on this mountain in Galilee. And Jesus called them there to talk to them, to deliver this plan. In verse 17, it says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some still doubted. It's amazing that after all that had happened, some still did not believe. Does that sound familiar to us? I mean, you know, we look at our life and things happen in our life and miracles happen and God comes in and he just rescues us from a mess that we've created for ourselves. And we're so thankful that he did that. We're just, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then months go by or maybe even weeks and we do something again that's just as crazy or just as stupid. And we just don't get it. And, you know, we still doubt Jesus. We doubt his power. We doubt his authority. We doubt his ability to help us walk through life no matter what the circumstances are. So we're just kind of like those. We still doubt as well. In verse 18, it says, then Jesus came to them with all authority. Remember, we just talked about that. In heaven and on earth and has been given to me, he says. That's what he said. This is one of the most important statements, I think, that Christ made because it gives the authority to Christ to do a lot of things. You see, Christ could forgive sins. No one else can do that. He gave Christ the authority to mediate, to be this mediator through the Holy Spirit to God. He gave us the Holy Spirit to walk with us. I mean, I don't know if we all understand that Trinity. We understand that Jesus and we understand God and the Holy Spirit and how they all work together. But Jesus as a person obviously couldn't be in the life of every single person here today, but his Spirit can. And so the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christ follower, is with you all the time. It's not something that you have to go and accept. I mean, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, then you have the Holy Spirit in your life to help you get through it. He is there for you. And that was a power given to Christ to be able to send his Holy Spirit, to open the hearts and minds of people. You see, we can't change people's hearts. We can talk all day long, but you know, only God can change your heart. And we need to understand that. But also to give eternal life. None of us obviously have the ability to give eternal life to anyone. But because of the authority given by God to Jesus, he can do that. Because of his authority, we can be bold in sharing the gospel. I know that talking to people about Christ or sometimes even living your life in such a way that causes people to move toward Christ can be scary. You know, like you know that this person needs to be talked to, and you know that maybe you need to say some things to this person and encourage this person, and when they say to you, you're different than everybody else, why? You can't just say, well, I don't know, you're just him. But because there is a reason why. It's because of what Jesus has done in your life. And he's telling us here that you can be bold. You can step out and tell him that because it's in his authority that you have the right to do that. And so we truly need to understand how much power we have in that because of God. Not our power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 19, then, he gets into the meat of this. And he says, therefore. Now, the therefore, you know, they're always in studying in the ministry, they always tell you that what is the therefore, therefore? So kind of always remember that when the word therefore is used. It's what's the therefore, therefore? The therefore is that because of all this power and authority that God has given to Jesus, you see, he has all this authority, and because of that, he can boldly say to us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, this passage has one command. Some people in the past maybe have locked onto this word go. And there's been a lot of push on, you need to go on the mission field. You need to go here. You need to go there. But the command in these verses is not to go. The command is to make disciples. Jesus is telling us that as we go along in life, day by day, make disciples. That's what he's telling us to do. Baptism then and teaching are just steps after that that we need to do as well. And I don't know where you are on that. I don't know if you feel that baptism is not something that's important and you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you've become a Christ follower, but yeah, baptism, I don't know about all this going under the water and stuff. But you know what? Jesus taught that as something that we need to do. Once we accept Him as our Savior, we should be baptized in Him. That's something that we should do. And we practice that here. And it won't be long until we'll be doing that right here. In fact, the baptistry is coming this week. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that, and all of you will be able to celebrate as you watch people give their lives to Christ and then follow it up with baptism. So baptism is important. And then teaching. Obviously, we have to teach. We have to help people along as we make them disciples by teaching God's Word, by teaching what God has commanded us to do. And that's in verse 20. We find that. It says, "And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Well, you know, that's tough. That's a tough thing. Teaching to obey all things. Does that say that in order to be a Christ follower or a disciple that we have to be perfect and never make a mistake? I don't think so. Obviously, none of us are perfect and we're always going to make mistakes. But we are to teach those Christ followers the teachings of Jesus. We need to be able to share the good news with them. We need to be able to help bring them along and make a disciple out of them. And we need to encourage them to be obedient to the teachings of God. But first, we need to be obedient to the teachings of God before we try to get someone else to do that. But we also need to remember that it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do that, and we have that power. In this message this morning, I just felt the need to do this. I've used some terms that I feel like, you know, maybe we need to explain a little bit to make sure that we are all on the same page. And so I've chosen five things that I want to kind of bring and put into here as we close this message this morning. In this passage, who is Christ speaking to? I think we need to understand that first and foremost. I think most of us know this, but we may not want to admit it. Because once we admit it, then it means you and I have to do it. Jesus is speaking to all Christ followers. Every one of us. You know, I'm going to sidestep here for a second because I think it's important. And I hear it all the time. And so, not amongst you guys, but I hear it out in the world all the time. And so I want to share that with you. You know, when I say Christ followers, I'm not talking about people who believe in God. Because even Satan believes in God and trembles. I'm talking about those folks, like the 11, who decided to follow Jesus. Who got behind Him, who walked with Him, was with Him all the time, listened to His teachings, tried to do what He wanted them to do, and tried to live a life that was according to His will, even though they screwed up all the time. But they kept trying to do it. But they were following Jesus. It was far more than just saying, "I believe there is a God." You see, I kind of adapted my own word for that, and I call that an acknowledger. You're an acknowledger that you believe there is a God. Most likely, everybody in this room this morning would probably raise their hand to that and say, "I believe there is a God." But there's a difference between believing that there's a God and being a Christ follower. And so I think it's important, as that's why I try to use this word, Christ follower, all the time. The word Christian really wasn't even found in the early New Testament teachings, except in a couple cases, and those were derogatory. It's like those Christians. You know, it was a bad thing. But the word Christ follower or disciple was used all the time. And so I try to use that word because I think that's a better explanation of what God was talking about, Christ was talking about. And so what does a Christ follower look like? A Christ follower is someone who has accepted Jesus as their Savior. They believe that Jesus came to earth to live and to die and to rise again for the payment of sin, all sin, mine, theirs, and all others. They believe that Jesus is the risen Lord and that they've placed their faith and their trust in Him and Him alone. A Christ follower needs to love, live, and die in such a way that it causes people to look at Jesus and turn toward Him. That's how you will win people over. That's how you will get people to follow Christ through your example, is by seeing the way you live your life, watching the way you give and the way you love and the way you die, will cause others to look to you and ask the question, what's different? It gives you the opportunity to say, Jesus Christ in my life, that's what's different. And you see, when you do that, you'll be amazed, because people will not, it's not just what you say, but it's what you do. I had the privilege over the last 8 months of getting to know a woman through my hospice work who had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. I don't know if you know anything about Lou Gehrig's disease, but I've not seen every kind of disease, but I've seen most of them. And it's one of the worst diseases that anyone could have. It started, in her case, with her lower extremities and worked its way all the way up until finally it hit her throat and her mouth, and she couldn't talk. But for most of the time, she could talk. And I would visit her every week. And here's the things I could count on. A smile on her face and a great, positive, Christ-like attitude. As sick as she was, she couldn't move her arms, couldn't move her legs, had to be fed, had to be turned, had to be taken to the shower, everything. She couldn't do anything on her own. I'd walk in the door, she had this big smile on her face. She kept talking to me about the church and this church, and she didn't even go to this church. But she was telling her friends and her family, they need to come here to church. She was probably one of our biggest supporters, and she didn't even go to church here. But she loved the Lord. You see, she knew what it was like to be a Christ follower, a disciple. And she was trying to make sure that her family did not die without knowing Jesus. She wanted every one of them to be a Christ follower. And she did everything she could until she could no longer move her lips to make sure that that happened the best she could. And she lived the life of an example of a loving and kind person. It was tough. She passed away a couple weeks ago, and I was able to be part of her funeral. And it was a great day in one respect, because I know where she's at. She's now able to walk and have use of all of her legs and arms and enjoying Christ. But at the same time, it was sad because I miss her. And she was a great lady. But she was a living example of what her disciple looks like. The third point, what does make a disciple mean? Because that's what he's telling us to do, so we need to understand what that means. What it means is, and I said it earlier, but let's say it again, as we go through life, just our normal, everyday life, day by day, just what you get up and you live your life, you do your life, you go to work, you have your family, you have your friends, you do things. So as you go through life, day by day, we are to make disciples or cause people to move toward Jesus Christ, to move toward becoming a Christ follower, and then being able to help disciple them, to baptize them, to teach them. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, when he says to baptize them, for example, if you're a Christ follower, you can baptize any person. So, you know, when we do baptisms, it doesn't always have to be Jeff or I or Joe. If you want to baptize your family member or your friend, if you're a Christ follower, you can do that. Because he's told us to go and do that, to baptize and to teach. So becoming a Christ follower is kind of like becoming an apprentice. Everybody understands that terminology today. An apprentice follows along with a person that understands the job, and they work with them side by side, and they learn the skills of the trade. That's an apprentice, and that's what we are as disciples. So again, we're to do this every day in our normal day of life. Because you know what? Again, it's important we understand that this is for all of us, all Christ followers. Not just for the people who have gone into the ministry. It's for everybody. Number four, what should a disciple be doing while they're on this earth? What are we supposed to be busy doing? Jesus tells us that we are going through life making these disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to become a disciple themselves so that they can reach others and help them to become a Christ follower. You see how it's going to work now? I disciple someone, maybe baptize them, teach them, in order so that what? They can become a disciple, and then they can make a disciple. And they make a person, help a person become a disciple, baptize them, teach them. For what? So that they can go out and make another disciple. So forth and so on. That's the plan. Why? Because God loves everyone and He doesn't want to see people die and go to hell. Plain and simple. He wants them to spend eternity with Him. So He tells us to carry on what He was doing while He was on earth. Teaching, baptizing, loving people, being there for them, help them to move toward discipleship. You know, I remember when I was called. I gave my life to Christ at a young age, probably 8 or 9 years old. I don't remember exactly. It's been too long ago. But I'm too old. But anyway, when I was in high school, we would go to a youth camp, a high school youth camp at Lake Region Christian Assembly. And one of the things that happened every year there, at least when I went, was on the last night of camp, we would go to the pool area, and there would be like a discussion and a talk, and then we would have an opportunity to give our life to full-time Christian service for those people who were Christ followers but wanted to make a second commitment and commit to serving God the rest of their life. Well, I remember doing that. I can still remember standing along the fence. I can still remember making that decision. That stood with me. Well, it took me a while to do it full-time. I got sidetracked and did a lot of other things, but I always served and worked in the church. I always tried to do what I could, even as a layperson. But then again, in year 2000, God just said, you know what, enough of that, and you need to do this full-time, and He called me into full-time ministry. And I am just so thankful that I have been able to do that, and I've been blessed to be able to do that. But that was my experience of really, truly understanding the beginning point, anyway, of what it was like to be a disciple. So, bottom line is, we cannot just audit this Christian life. We need to get it all the way in. Number 5, what promise did Jesus leave us concerning all this? Jesus promised us that we could live out this process through His authority. And that He will be with us side by side forever and ever. Jesus left us with one final statement before He ascended into heaven, and we find that in the book of Acts. And that's Acts 1, 1 through 8. And part of that I'm going to read, it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are You willing at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the time and the dates that the Father has set by His authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what He tells us as He gets ready to go into heaven. This is our Samaria right here. Next fall, we're going to continue this series with talking about evangelism and discipleship. What it means and what our responsibility is as far as spreading the good news. And then once we do, how we go about making disciples. But until then, let's be busy about the Lord's work of the Great Commission, of making disciples. As we go through our life, making a difference in people's lives, letting them see Jesus through us, causing them to turn from their life and say, I know there's more, and I like what I see, and I need to do this as well. And they move toward not me, but toward Jesus. They learn to try to, like me, obey His commandments. It's a process. It's a lifelong process. We play a huge role in the beginning of that lifelong process. And you know what? God can do it without me. If I choose to let it go and not do it, God will find someone else. They'll receive the blessings, not me. So I have a choice in this, but not really. Because if I want to please God, this is what He told me I need to do. And I know it's hard. Because I know a lot of you sitting out there today, and I've been right where you are saying, okay, I love the Lord. I know there's a God. I know that there's Christ. I know He did all these things. But I don't know, this making disciples and baptizing and teaching, and it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of commitment, and I don't know if I have it. Well, folks, we don't have a choice. If you want God to bless you, and you want to be what God wants you to be, then He's told you what you need to do. He's told me what I need to do. The question is, will we do it? Or will we just want to audit in class? I leave you with one challenge every morning when you get up. Before you get your feet on the floor, before you do have your first cup of coffee, pray to God and ask the Lord, what will you have me do today to help cause people that you place in my path to move toward you and to make disciples? You see, that was Christ's great commission. That was His mission. That's His plan. And so it needs to be our plan as well. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to look at Your Word. I thank You, Lord God, for the privilege that we have to be able to make disciples. I thank You that You included us in Your plan. I thank You, Lord God, that You gave us the authority through Your power of the Holy Spirit to do this. So now, Lord, it's up to us. As we leave here this morning, we can just ignore this and walk out the door and go on with our life. But Lord, my prayer this morning is that whether it's here or whether it's at home this afternoon, wherever you may be, that we go down on our knees. If this isn't the way we're living our life, then I pray that we go down on our knees and ask You to not only forgive us, but to come into our life and help us to learn how to be a disciple, and then help us to understand how to make others disciples. Help us to truly understand Your great commandment and Your great commission. I pray this in Jesus' name.